This podcast is supported by FedEx. FedEx offers fast delivery, more visibility, simple returns, and weekend home delivery to 98% of the U.S. population on Saturday and 50% on Sunday. With FedEx, you get picture proof of delivery, ensuring you always know where your package is. Returns are simple with packageless and paperless returns. Plus, FedEx Ground is also faster to more locations than UPS Ground. See the FedEx service guide for delivery information. So, what are you waiting for? See what FedEx can do for your business. Absolutely, positively, FedEx.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to the Nurse Podcast, episode number 420!
420!
Yo!
Let's get it up! 187! LOL! OMG!
Who's up for 20s?
What's that?
I'm just trying to get some lingo.
Just trying to get some, yeah. 420.
You went for 20?
420.
You want some petit?
You want some foutoin?
Foutoin.
Foutoin. Foutoin.
It's Cajun Doug Benson.
You like this weed, I guarantee.
Yeah, I think that's an Adam Sandler character.
Foutoin.
I think that's just Adam Sandler.
Yeah.
Calamine lotion. Masturbation. Frustration.
Cajun man.
Really?
Yeah.
Singing in excess is mediate.
Alleviate. Try not to hate. Love your mate. Don't suffocate on your own hate. Designate your lover's fate. At 90, we're all rotate.
I always like it that I know to stop talking because if I just
Autoerotic asphyxiation.
I have to pay attention to Chris Hardwick's eyebrows. When one starts to go up, I know he's going to go a little bit more.
That's right.
Yeah, it's a good
That's
tell.
The gas pedal.
That's the good tell.
That's the gas pedal. Yeah, there it comes.
Oh!
Revving up for some Cajun comedy.
Good.
So we could not have an episode 420 without bringing Doug Benson on. So we added another episode this week just so 420 could be Doug Benson.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's going to be good.
Doug's been on a bunch of times, but Doug's one of those guys that you could just start talking.
Well, we've been friends with him for so long that there's a nice ease to just hanging out with him.
Some of us have been friends with Doug for 19 years.
Yes. I've been friends with you for, so you said you've been sober 10 years today?
Yeah.
So I've known you for about 11 and a half years.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Oh, so you got a year and a half of the good of Peter Hardwick.
Yeah, you almost said good. Something you're missing, Chris,
in
your life?
I was like, good in sarcastic good.
Yeah.
Like, those were the... Jonah, drive me to Jack in the Box. Okay, I'm new and I just want to make everyone like me.
Wow, it's so funny how that foreshadowed our entire relationship together.
Boy, I saw you. It was so easy. I preyed on you so hard for rides. Yeah. This guy's young. He's not 21 yet.
Yeah. He can't drink.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's when you're a young kid in the comedy scene and you're under, like, you're the one that has to drive.
Hey, freshman.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Drive me around. I need to get fucked up.
Yeah.
You want to get booked? Come on, bro. Let's fucking do this. That's you want to do the fucking Bruco? If you want to do the Bruco, open
I want to get on the Bruco.
All right, then I need to go to Jack in the Box for a spicy, crispy chicken.
Right away, sir. I know we're in Hollywood. I live in San Pedro, but you live in Westwood, so let's go. I have no gas.
You'll figure it out.
And I did.
Doug also performs all over the country. Jonah Ray is performing in San Francisco.
I'm performing in San Francisco tonight.
At the
Punchline.
It's dicey for you to say tonight because you don't know when people are going to be listening to this. You should just give the dates.
Okay, it's Thursday, 10th through 12th. I'm not good at this. This is my first headlining gigs. It's
Thursday, October 10th through Saturday, October 12th.
Yes, I'm doing five shows at the San Francisco Punchline. My opener is Nick Youssef, who is a great, great comic. I'm going to be having limited edition posters that were screened by Dave Klock and designed by Garrett Ross, and those are going to be on sale. It should be a lot of fun. Come on out and have a dance party.
Doug Benson, by the way, not only has, you can find Doug Benson's I Love Movies or Movie Interruption or Dining with Doug and Karen, which is a podcast. podcast on Nerdist.
He has a new show?
He has a new video show on Jash, on YouTube channel Jash, Getting Dug with High. Well, I guess a bunch of highs get together and they get dug.
Yeah. And I got dug last night.
Well, we got dug now on episode 420.
420.
It's 420, guaranteed.
Oh, weed culture. You are the best. I could say that because my dad's a pothead.
That's true.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, he quit.
Well, then you fuck you.
Yeah, but I grew up with
him. All right, we're done.
That petered out, huh?
Yeah.
That Peter Hardwick out.
Peter Hardwick out.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
Do you always say her full name?
I do like to say her full name a lot.
It's good alliteration. People say Matt Myra a lot, too.
Matt Myra, Eminem.
I don't think they do.
People do.
Actually, they say Matt Myra.
Well, yeah, sounds good.
More people say Myra than Myra.
People that I feel like should know.
Right, yeah. Well, they don't. I mean,
it's weird. They do know, but they choose to say it wrong.
I think it's because however they used to read it. Mm-hmm. They probably say it however they used to read it.
That's true.
Doug Benson's here.
Duke Bonson.
I was just thinking it might be fun to not speak at all
for the whole time. Well, then you just ruined that, though.
For the 420 episode. Yeah, but I thought you guys would talk longer before bringing me.
No.
There's no way
I'm surprised it took that long.
There's no way we could have a 420th episode of the podcast and not have Doug Benson.
It's been really crazy, all the tweets we've been getting about it.
It started a handful of months ago.
Did we mention it on the podcast?
I mentioned it. That'd be funny to have Doug as our guest on the 420th episode.
Right. Makes sense.
Because the three of you are such squares.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Although, to be honest, Jonah said, shit, if I didn't have to work today, I would just let Doug get me really high during the podcast.
Yeah, that's kind of... You have to work? Do you put quotes around that when you say it?
Well, I have to drive around.
Oh. So you're...
I have to work on not
working
dying.
With Uber now?
Yes.
Uber. Uber.
Lyft.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. I like the pink mustache. It just makes my car so fun.
It doesn't have to be pink, though, right?
Yeah, it does, right?
I think so.
I think I've seen other color ones.
I think those are just by choice.
Those are knockoffs.
Yeah.
Or you've seen faded ones.
Those are weirdos that want to seem like with the car service.
They're like Green Lantern rings. Each one represents a different emotion of a car. So
the,
if you're
the
like
type of driver.
Yeah. So if you get like a yellow mustache, that person's going to be like represent avarice.
Where are they going to go?
Right to a
certain part of town.
Just a bad. They're going to go drive right into the ocean and just tell you to fuck yourself right as you go off the California incline.
Okay, I'm going to avoid that yellow mustache. That doesn't seem like a good deal.
Doug, how are things going for you? We haven't been on the podcast in quite a while.
I know because, well, I like to pop in when you guys do them in front of a live audience, but, you know, the ongoing show, do you have repeat guests?
Sure.
Repeat often?
No.
Or just
you
like
and Tom Hanks.
There's going to be a special club with robes and
the two timers club.
Yep,
Corolla's going to be there.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure you've. I know you've had people on twice before, but
Bigley has been on three times.
Once I've done the full interview episode, like with also with WTF, I don't feel like that's a door I should knock on. Like, hey, have me back,
right?
At that point, like, what do you?
I could find some issues to talk about.
Yeah.
So I haven't really sought this out, but when people started writing on Twitter, Doug Benson has to be the 420th show. I wholeheartedly agreed.
We listen to our fans.
So yes, we're making it happen.
For better or worse, we listen to our fans.
So enjoy five episodes this week.
I don't know. There are five this week.
Skip this one. I don't mind. We made our joke. 420.
Wait, so you just want to show up for the joke? Now we just have to sit here and figure out what to talk about?
No, let's make it 4 minutes and 20 seconds.
What are four old friends going to find to talk about?
Oh, shit, we should make it 4 minutes and 20 seconds.
That would be so worth coming down here for.
Coming down here, you live like half a mile away.
I live the closest. I just
met. Yeah, you do.
But he still had to leave the house.
We all had to. Yeah. Six of us had to show up.
In fairness, I'm in an office like 50 feet away.
I don't know what to ask you about weed because I don't really know much about it. I know that it makes me
The last time I did it was like 2002, maybe, and I thought I was having a stroke.
9/11 really affected you.
Yeah. Well, here's my question to you guys, is for all three of you, is would any of you be willing to smoke on camera for my new web series, Getting Doug with High?
Yep.
I can't, but these guys can.
Yeah, I sure can do that.
I can't do anything substance-y.
I'm going to do it vapor style. Because, you know, I'm like smoking my lungs.
I love smoking my lungs, so any way you want me to do it.
If you could somehow get a clove cigarette and put weed into that, Matt will just smoke that all day.
No problem.
But I've only seen you guys smoke once or twice each, maybe, right?
Yeah.
In our friendships?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's just not your thing.
It just puts me to bed.
You're drinkers.
Yeah, yeah, I like drinking.
It makes me nauseous, kind of.
Matt does.
Which is weird because it's good for nausea, marijuana.
Yeah.
Maybe I should be nauseous first.
But also, Matt's on a crazy diet, so we'd have to smoke on a cheat day.
Yeah, just in case something happens afterwards. Well, when I, you know, a buddy of mine was talking about that something happened, I guess, in the 60s or 70s when a different strain of weed became the standard. And I'm trying to remember what he was saying, but it was like there's a better form of weed that you can find now because of the boutique aspect of it.
I don't know if better is the right word for it, but you could certainly find something that gives you a more uplifting feeling.
Yeah.
But some people are just gonna make them sleepy.
Well, we were talking about that the other day, where it's just like it's just sometimes your chemical makeup, like how some people can't drink, like you know they drink and they immediately black out no matter what.
That's awesome.
Like, I know. Do you like blacking out?
Well, I just think that'd be an interesting thing. Like, you know this thing, if you do it, it will make you black out.
Yeah, but blacking out doesn't mean that you go to bed right away. It means wherever you're going, the power shuts off, but your brain shuts off, but your body keeps doing things.
Yeah, you're still wandering around and doing stuff.
Yeah.
And, like, every blackout drunk I've ever gotten, like, one or two of them, somebody told me something that was embarrassing that I did. But most of the time, I'm just acting like me still.
Yeah.
So I'm blackout drunk, and no one knows it.
Yeah.
So that's not a good place to be.
It's just, it's like the idea. Of just like, you know, meeting people, doing stuff, and then just you're like brain physically can't remember it because it just doesn't lay down that track, that memory track.
Yeah. There are parts.
That freaks me out.
I've never blacked out. I've never blacked out.
I always check my phone right away if I had a blackout drunk night to see what texts I sent out during it.
Sure.
And I never send out anything bad. You know, when I'm drunk and I know I'm drunk, that's when I'll send stuff with that excuse.
I don't think it ever.
But during blackout, I don't even mess with my phone.
Yeah.
Did you black out? Never? I remember really blacking out. I remember.
Because you're good at drinking.
I was good at it. but I do remember tomorrow's 10 years.
Oh, shit. Well, really?
Congratulations.
Yeah. Oh, this is really the perfect time for me to stop by and ask you to come smoke on my show.
Well, when I say tomorrow, that we're recording this on the 7th, so October 8th is my 10-year anniversary. But I do remember the only times that I ever kind of got like, whoa, I sort of just dozed off for a second, and I don't know what happened the last couple minutes, was when my friends ran a bar and I used to drink beer all night, and then for some reason after they'd shut the bar doors, be like, it's 2:30, let's kick it in high gear. Then for some reason I went through a phase where I started doing shots of Sambuca.
Sambuca?
Yeah.
You fancy lad.
Well, it was free because they ran the bar, so it was just these like licorice-y shots.
I've learned from Bar Rescue, that's not free. You're stealing from the owners.
I was stealing from them. It was free to me.
They're losing out on 5 cents a shot.
But that was the only time where I started to get really bad hangovers and really...
Well, that stuff's sugary booze.
Well, it's also fucking not... you shouldn't chase... After you've been drinking beer all night, you shouldn't start chasing shots. That's not the time to start doing shots.
I don't remember the Madison, Wisconsin Live Nerdist podcast.
You don't?
No.
Really?
You were pretty drunk.
Yeah. No, I don't remember.
Shit. Well, you didn't drink that much.
To give you an idea how much I can drink and still remember it, I remember the night we were in Minneapolis and I fell down
when Chris introduced me.
I fell down, but I was still holding my drink.
Oh, that's right.
You didn't spill an ounce.
Flat on my face, but holding the beverage.
It's like you have this Alky gyroscope inside that just makes sure that... Have you ever gotten to a point where you were so high that you were like, okay, I'm kind of freaked out now, or are you pretty...
Sometimes the circumstances can freak you out, because one time, while we were making Super High Me, and I don't know what, you know, I hope the footage never shows up anywhere, or maybe it would be funny if it did, But while we were doing that and I was smoking all day every day, I took a gig where it was a corporate gig where I was hosting for some phone company. This was like, you know, 6 or 7 years ago. So people were just starting to try to figure out texting and monetizing texting. And so they had a party for this company where everyone in the audience got to vote on their phone to determine who was the best in a battle of the bands of five different one-hit wonder bands that each had to play two songs, and they were Vanilla Ice,
love it,
Sugar Hill Gang,
whoa,
Tiffany,
holy,
Thomas Dolby, and Tone Loc.
Tone Loc had two hits.
Where's my time machine?
He kind of did. Yeah.
Now that, by the way, is a brilliant collection. I mean, they didn't just pick from the same genre. Like, they got the teen pop star. Personally, I still love Thomas Dolby because he's a fucking brainiac.
Yeah. Hearing each of those groups play their hit was amazing.
Yeah.
They all did it live. They all perform well still.
I mean, Tone Loc and Vanilla Ice really just had to sort of show up with a DJ, right? Did Thomas Dolby play?
Someone had to kick it.
I think they all just kind of played to tracks, but there was, I think there was one time where there was a longer changeover that I had to cover. But the bottom line was that all those bands were great, and it was a lot of fun. Everybody enjoyed voting for them. And every time I took the stage, the entire audience just talked amongst themselves. They had no interest in me or what I was doing there. And I was, you know, I thought I was making some pretty funny jokes.
And then when they weren't paying attention, you just go, I think I'm alone now. There was
I said all of their lyrics.
And so you were really high during that.
I was really high during that, and so when I first got there and they were talking me through all the things I was going to have to do, I was like, oh, you're going to have to put this on cards. Because they're like, they're saying all these, you know, the name of the company has to be named a bunch of times. And here's the five acts. Like,
oh my God.
But that's, you know, I'm proud that I could just spit out all five acts to you right now.
Did you stop performing high after that? Or do you still?
No, no. It didn't slow me down one bit. Because once I got through that, I was really felt really
good
strong.
Good for you. I felt really strong. Yeah.
But during it, I was, especially before it started, I was a little panicked. But once the audience wasn't listening to me, then it became a funny thing where in my head, I was cracking up at the fact that a documentary crew was filming me bombing. And so I was just talking a lot of shit because they were so not listening to me that I could say, you're a bunch of fuckheads. And it wouldn't like make them boo or anything. They just kept, the din just continued.
Jesus.
And so it wasn't like I could do anything wrong, really. At that point. And I think only one of the acts was nice to me, which was disappointing.
Tiffany.
I don't even remember which one.
I might be giving him too much credit.
But that's the question is, I know it was just a small crowd of you know, California white people, but who do you think won the competition?
Okay, probably Vanilla Ice.
No, Sugar Hill Gang. Right?
I would think Tiffany. I think when
you're out. Tied for first, Sugar Hill Gang and Vanilla Ice.
Yeah, because Vanilla
Ice. The other three had to sit there and be like, we're the three losers instead of the four losers. I don't know what it does for their esteem.
And the Tone Loco, hasta la vista, baby.
There was an NBC summer show in like 2006 called Hit Me Baby One More Time that was getting acts to come out and perform their big hit, but then take a current hit and then put their spin on it.
Oh, that sounds great.
I love that.
It was great. It was fantastic.
Who were some of the acts on it?
Cameo.
Who?
Cameo.
He showed up briefly.
Who had the cameo?
The Knack.
The Knack's great.
Yeah. No, yeah. It was a cool show. I remember like the Knack. The Knack did a version.
Word Up and My Sharona.
Yeah, those were the two they played. But then they had to play, I think they played a Christina Aguilera song and then a something other song. But they were both like really cool little spins on the music. And
what was the Weird Al parody of My Sharona?
My Bologna.
Bologna.
Of course.
Yeah.
So Hit Me Baby One More Time wasn't a bullying campaign?
No, it was not a bullying campaign.
Okay,
it was
good. To raise money for bullying.
Yeah. I think they should bring it back.
It's like, listen, there's been a lot of anti-bully rhetoric out there.
What about the bullies? You're bullying the bullies right now.
Nerds wouldn't be nerds if it weren't bullies who made them feel bad, who then wanted to take over the world. So you owe us.
Just remember.
Hit Me Baby One More Time.
It's true. There needs to be a little bit.
There was a Reddit post this morning I was looking at that this kid, he's like, I run 7 miles a day now because I was bullied in middle school for being fat and now I'm in college and look at me. And I was like, you're welcome. I mean,
well, it was really a thank you bullies letter.
Wait, you're welcome to you? You were your bully?
No, but I'm just saying.
So you're taking the credit from some God-fearing bully.
Well, I will tell you this.
No, what I'm saying is
I'll tell you this.
In a weird way, he should be thankful for the bullies.
I'll tell you this.
Yes, yes.
I probably would not have, you know, tried to do my own thing if I didn't, if I hadn't been kind of shoved in a corner in school a lot and been like, I'll show you. You know, if I didn't have that moment.
Right.
If all of my grade school had been great and fun and easy, and you know, then I probably would have been like, oh, life's great. Why strive for anything else?
Might as well get married and have a few kids now. Seriously. I'm 18.
Yeah, I'm 18.
This is it.
Listen, I'll worry about my second wife when we get married and when I'm 28
or 32. I can vote. I can get a mortgage.
But, well, when I hosted the Streamies this year and Vanilla Ice performed at the end, and he was fucking great. So that's why I figured, because Ice Ice Baby, people just, even unironically or unironically, if you're hearing it live, it's a fun song.
Yeah, and he does all the moves, and, you know, it's...
I did a
good stuff.
I did a sketch for this.
I think he didn't even do a second song.
Doesn't need to. He could just do it again.
He could have just at the end just gone, go ninja, go ninja, go.
When I was shooting a sketch with him on The Soup, and like I had him do, like I had Mike Henry on the guitar, and like he did an acoustic version of Ice Ice Baby, and then like we were stopped down. I was like, hey, do you think you could do Go Ninja, Go Ninja, Go? He's like, fucking, you're right. This guy can figure it out. And like Mike's like, fuck it, what about this? He's like, great. And then they just went into it. And everyone's just like, this is real weird. A real weird thing that just happened.
What was it, Doug? What was you? We were all nerdy in school. What were you like?
Well, that was when Chris was talking about the being kind of pushed in a corner. I didn't really suffer much physical abuse, but I was just sort of, I think I was, you know, too odd for people. Like, yeah. I was like ahead of my time in terms of, you know, being comedic, but not necessarily the same sense of humor as all my classmates.
I've got to show you this footage. There's like a profile in the Comedy Store or something from like
88
or something, and you're in it, and you just have this big hair and these giant round glasses.
Yeah, and Arsenio's in that, right?
Is he?
Well, he's like talking about, like, he's all, some people are weird, and it cuts to Doug.
Yeah. That's really interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
So you kind of had to grow into your weirdness. Because I would say...
I was the guy that, like, I would fall down on my face in the middle of the campus in high school to make everybody laugh.
Yeah,
but then everybody thought I was fucking clumsy and fell on my face.
Yeah, I would do shit like
it
that.
It wasn't
all the time.
Like you're hilarious. It's just like laughing at rather than with.
Yeah, I would do like that, slips downstairs and just tripping over stuff and like dropping like trays of stuff. And yeah, I thought it was funny, and a couple of my friends did. But
I thought it was because you were too big for your body.
Well, no, that's the thing. I didn't get bullied for being a nerd.
No, I mean
dork,
the tripping and falling down stuff.
Yeah.
You weren't coordinated as a child.
That's right. I only got messed with like because I was white. That was the only.
Yeah.
Like that was the.
Oh, that's right. Because
yeah,
the
not
Samoans.
Hawaiian.
Yeah, it wasn't because it's like, hey, look at this dork. It was just like, hey, howly, you know. So. Like, that's the thing. It's like I didn't feel like a nerd because I was never really called a nerd.
But you were an outcast.
That was the least of my problems.
So you would have been in the Tri-Lam house because you wouldn't have been in the Samoan version of the Alpha Betas.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Alpha Beta males, yeah.
That's right. Alpha Beta males. Oh, that's really funny.
I was lucky in that the high school I went to had a four-year drama program and like a little theater in the middle of the campus that they taught it in. So I just spent all day, every day there. I'd do everything I could to get out of other classes and stuff. And I would just hung out with the other performers, you know, or other people that wanted to perform, you know, none of whom are in the business today, I don't think. But one of them was a year older than me. He was went on to be – he was he worked with Michael Jackson's production company for a while, and he was a leg amputee. So they asked him to play the one-legged robot in Captain EO.
Oh, yeah.
And then he's how I got into Captain EO, because when they needed extras to pretend to be the dancers, then that's when he suggested me.
That's awesome.
Like, he's like, you should use my friend Doug.
How did I not know you were in Captain EO?
We talked about this before.
Yeah. You know this.
He's in the dance scene. They ran out of dancers, and so they just basically just grabbed everyone who was there, and Doug was there. He's in the fucking big dance thing at the end.
A movie in the 80s. Doug was probably in
it. He was in it.
That would be in my brain. Why don't I know that?
I don't know.
I'm going to go see Captain EO.
Yeah, you might have been blackout drunk when we discussed it.
That's a good point.
because it comes up, you know, a lot now, and I guess it'll start coming up a lot less because, you know, it's officially out of the parks now.
Oh, again. It was only like a small revival?
Well, he ended up lasting. How long ago was it that Michael died?
Was, yeah,
like, as soon as he died, they're like, well, probably not going to be any more charges against him, so let's bring back Captain EO.
I loved it. I went back.
And now I think they got rid of it just because it's so corny. And
was that your story where he was taking a picture with some people and they were like, smile? And he's like, I hate smiling.
Oh, Jesus.
No, that's not.
Someone told that's me the saddest thing.
That's the point of the story. Like, someone's like, Michael, do you mind if we could take a picture with my kids on the set of Captain EO? And he was like, okay. And just sort of like vacant. Oh, maybe Furman told me that story. And then while they were standing there, they were like, Michael, smile. And he kind of has this big smile. And then just like under his breath, he just goes, I hate smiling.
I don't want to grow up.
Yeah. That's real fun. That's about, you were also in Nightmare on Elm Street, right? Or Nightmare on Elm Street 2.
Nightmare on Elm Street 2, there's like when the gym coach gets killed, all the scenes of his hand like struggling to grab things, and when the you know, the that movie's so silly, the like gym ropes come to life and tie him up. And so those are my
wouldn't happen in real life.
Yeah. Those are my wrists. Like throughout that scene, I can just point to when the actor Marshall Bell, he got to go home, and I just stayed and did all the close-ups,
all the arm work.
All the arm work. But I don't think you can see me. I think I'm in a party scene in that movie.
Yeah, there is a party scene where he starts
very much
to,
in the background.
Yeah.
So as a weird kid that had really just comedy as a direction, we've talked about this before, but you started late in your 20s. You didn't smoke pot.
Yeah, I didn't really get into weed until 28.
So what was it that happened where you were like, oh, this feels right?
Brian Posehn and Greg Proops happened. Yeah, we were doing it was a week where Brian was the MC, I was the feature, and Proops was the headliner at the Punchline in Walnut Creek. Doesn't exist anymore. And we all drove out there together. I stayed in San Francisco in the city, and we all drove out there together every night and back. And so we got high every single night, and I loved it. It was so much fun. And continue to be friends with those guys and do gigs with them. Like, for the longest time, I was kind of like a moocher pot smoker. Like, I only smoked when somebody else had it.
Yep.
For maybe 2 or 3 years. And then eventually people were like, dude, you got to, like, you know, contribute every once in a while. And then I, you know, flipped and just became more of a guy who always has it. Guy who always has it. And then I flipped again and became the guy who is always getting it thrown at him.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to get a picture of this because we did not purposely give you the green microphone.
Oh! Hey.
You have the green microphone cover. So what, when you travel, can you travel with it, or do you travel with it even if you're not supposed to?
Both. I do travel with it. You're not really supposed to, but the TSA is all about bombs and, you know, and weapons, and they don't care about vaporizer pens or edibles, or even if you throw it in your check bag, I find that, you know, as long as it's a small amount,
they're not going to do anything
about weed. Well, it'd just be, there'd be somebody that's just, like, they randomly search bags, you know?
Yeah.
And they put that little note in there when they do.
Yeah.
So I've never had the
just
note.
Says, thanks, bro.
I've never had the note and the weed missing. But I've also, I rarely fly with it because I don't need to, you know. I can land in a city and tweet
and
that
I'm there.
And
there's a green path from
there's
the
offers, yeah.
And what's the thing that I think it was Jeselnik was saying, what sucks about smoking the weed that people give you is that they're always trying to impress you with the strongest possible weed.
Yeah, well, and so for pussies like Jeselnik, that may be a problem. No, but people are very proud of their weed and do want, you know, they want to get you fucked up. And it's this weird thing that if you get, as me, if I get too stoned, there's always some witness around, you know, that like saw me fall asleep or something, you know, that has to make a big deal out of it. Like, oh, he can't even handle it. He fell asleep. You know, like they don't know that I'm like, you know, pretty much smoking 24/7. So,
yeah.
So sleep is going to happen.
Yeah.
It's so much a part of your identity now. Can you, if you ever had to quit for any reason, would you be like, oh no, but that was so much a part of it? Or would you just feel like, well, I'm a comic and I would just.
That's the thing. You can talk it through on stage. I mean, a lot of people would be disappointed, but I like to feel like anybody I've ever known who smokes pot, if they, for whatever reason, they want to quit. Like, I mean, you know, you stop drinking and doing everything, and I'm not like, well, I can't talk to that guy anymore. They're going to call you. Like, I'm not going to call you and try to get you to go to a bar.
Yeah.
You know, so if that's what I'm doing, I might, you might get left out, but fortunately you have plans.
What happens is
Chris Hardwick has things to do. Yeah.
What happens a lot of times is that you sort of realize like who were just your party buddies, because some people don't want to hang out with you because they feel awkward, or they feel like, well, I don't want to influence them, or in some cases they sort of look at it as a mirror and they don't want to think about it.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like, oh, it's just reminding them that they're doing it, but maybe they shouldn't. Not everyone. I don't think everyone who engages in substances has a problem. I'm not one of those.
If anything,
types of
hanging out with
people.
You makes me drink more.
Yeah, you're picking up the slack.
Yeah.
Did I ever tell you this story that like about a year after I quit drinking, we were at M Bar doing a show, and I was at the bar with Zach, and I was drinking a club soda, and he was like, and he goes, "How long have you been sober now?" And I'm in like a year, and he goes, "Oh, what was your favorite beer? What would you normally order?" And I go, "Oh, probably a Sam Adams." And he turns to the bartender and he goes, "I'll have a Sam Adams, please." Which I thought was hilarious. I mean, yeah. Zach can get away with that.
Yeah.
Someone else I would have been like, "Fucking dick." But it was I thought that was really hilarious. But some people really do, like, they don't know what to say because you're just bonded by whatever the substance is.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's the thing also with us. We never really drank together, and you were never really a smoker even when you were a drinker. So those bonds have never really...
Possein cut back, didn't he?
Yeah, yeah. He, once he had the kid, he decided, you know, it's just sad that he's, you know, going outside every, you know... He was smoking all day, every day, you know, so it was also an energy thing for him. And, you know, just wanted to make a change, but he'll be back. He'll smoke again someday, because, like, you know, people, when their kids grow up, they go back to it, you know, or even when their kids are older enough, if you're Joe Beth Williams and Craig T. Nelson.
And Poltergeist. Well, yeah. did you, it's funny that I didn't even hesitate. As soon as you said Joe Beth Williams, like, he's talking about Poltergeist.
That's what we're here for, to be nerds.
But Poltergeist, by the way, does not hold up very well.
I worry about that all the time. Because I love that scene where they're smoking and just how playful they are and like how, you know, it just really sets it up so that then when the shit starts to happen, you like really empathize with them, but also appreciate that they're parents that fight so hard for their kids, even though they're silly stoners.
It doesn't hold up very well. Do you
like the guy, when the guy's face falls apart? I bet you that looks like shit.
It looks yeah, really bad.
It's a hard cut. It's a real hard cut.
At the time, well, I remember seeing that and being like, "This is the craziest thing." Of course, I was about small. I was a kid, but then I saw it again, like maybe 5 years ago. I saw that, you know, it came on. I was like, "Oh, I'm just gonna stick it through this." One of the best scenes in the history of cinema. And then, like, the guy's arm comes out of frame in a way where it couldn't possibly. Yeah. And he's like, rah, rah, rah. Like, you can tell.
That's
it's
what
just
always bothers me about Back to the Future, when Marty's
hand comes up. It starts to do this weird. Just, why didn't they?
Get the angle right.
They could have just fixed that. They had a budget.
When I auditioned for the remake, that was the guy I was reading for.
What?
The guy that tears his face apart.
For a second, I thought you meant a Back to the Future remake.
Back to the Future remake.
What the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah. Yeah, they wanted to go the opposite body type of Marty.
But
wait, what are you talking about?
I went on an audition for a Poltergeist remake.
Oh, they're going to redo it.
Yeah, they're going to redo it.
And a guy's going to pull his face off like that again.
Yeah, like it looked like it was going that way because there was the scene of the guy talking to the kid, trying to see. It's like, oh, your dad's kind of trying to pull a fast one, right? And then, you know, and then he goes to the bathroom.
It's so weird to me, this whole notion of, like, let's remake, because they could remake it and they could make it better. Like, it's definitely a movie that, you know, they could do a newer version of it that improves on it in some way. But the odds of that, them actually doing that, they're just going to make a shitty movie that has the same title.
Well, none of that,
it.
But you know, so many ghost films have been made at this point, so many house haunting films. It just sort of feels like, why bother calling? I mean, I guess, you know, that's a marketing.
And they'll
department.
Go the PG-13 route because they want all that money. And and part of the thing about Poltergeist, the first one, was it kind of pushed the rating a little hard, like that they wouldn't necessarily get away with now as far as it being scary. Like the stuff in the swimming pool probably still holds up, right? Like everybody falling into the pool and
all of
the tree and the...
Yeah. That was a fucking gnarly scene.
Yeah. I hope so. Anyway, maybe we should interrupt it sometime.
Oh my God.
It's just going to be you going, no.
We should do, if you do a Poltergeist interruption, I would love to do it. That would be so much fun. Because there are parts of it that are probably still pretty good, but in general, I think it's probably a little silly. And then, of course, sad because, you know, a lot of the people in that movie are dead.
That happens with curses, guys.
Yeah, it's the whole
but a
curse
lot of them,
thing.
A lot of them. The sister's dead. The
right. Toby I mean, Hooper's all career. Of this, of course, leads to tremendous jokes for us to say during the movie.
Yeah.
I guess the son is still alive, maybe. Now I just switched over to Poltergeist. It was each movie would have someone die. Like the original Poltergeist, only two of the characters are since dead. The two girls.
Yes.
Zelda Rubinstein.
Craig T. Nelson went on to do Coach.
Of course he did. And The Incredibles.
Yeah.
My favorite animated
movie. That's my favorite Pixar movie.
And the show everyone tries to get you to watch, The Parenthood.
Like a genuine sequel to The Incredibles that like had Brad Bird attached could be fantastic.
Yeah.
I don't know why they're making Cars 2.
It's a perfect superhero movie.
Finding Nemo 2.
They're making a Finding Nemo 2?
I think so.
Yeah. I think they are. Everyone gets
lost again, this time in New York.
I just get so aggravated with I can't, yeah. There's a pigeon lady.
Yeah, yeah.
Tim Curry is a bellhop.
Yeah.
A VCR.
Or whatever he is, the manager of the hotel.
Tim Curry plays the voice of a lamprey. Hudson River.
Rob Schneider's not in it this time because they're making it in California.
That's what, he won't come in California?
Because of them Democrats, he hasn't worked in 8 years.
Yeah, he hasn't worked in 8 years in California because of Democrats. That's the
headline.
Rob Schneider. He hasn't made a movie in California in 8 years because of Democrats.
Robert Schneider, actor.
So you can just take a coincidence and call it a reason why you haven't made a movie here?
Yep.
Because he's been in a couple of movies that just happened to shoot somewhere else.
Right.
Which is true of a lot of movies because they're saving money. Mm-hmm. Like, I guess, like, it seems like lots of things are being shot in Louisiana now.
Yeah, Shreveport is like the new bustling, you know, Hollywood of the South, as they call it.
But I always hear of just people like when they were doing Hot Tub Time Machine. Everybody that I know that was in that was just like, "Yeah, I'm in New Orleans for
Bad Milo,
blah blah
right?
blah." Yeah. Yeah. That's where they did
or Hell Baby. No, Hell Baby
was shot there. Yeah,
yeah. It's just a lot of movies. Just because after the the oil and the hurricanes and stuff like that, like they needed something to bring more money into that area, and so they just dropped all these like fees and taxes for shooting there.
Yeah, they're building a new studio in Massachusetts in Fort Devens, which is an old.
Are they going to start taking away some of the fees and something like that?
Huge studio.
Wow,
Massachusetts already has crazy tech. That's why Ben Affleck makes everything there.
Oh, really? It seems like it'd be a place.
I thought it's because he's from there and he knows all the directions.
He can glad hand some of the guys.
He knows where things are.
Yeah.
Was the town weird? Was it weird in the town that chase went on for so long and helicopters never got involved, or is Boston known for that?
Well,
the lack of helicopters.
I was alarmed by the amount of helicopters when I moved here. It's you never see police helicopters.
It's more of a thing here.
And yeah, you never see police helicopters.
But if the chase goes on for that long, with nuns.
I've also never seen
never
seen a live car chase in Massachusetts. The only helicopters I think in Massachusetts are ambulance and traffic.
Really?
That's as far as I can remember.
Well, the traffic ones should get involved.
Okay, LA, number one in police helicopters.
Hell yeah.
That's where number one at.
Get on the freeway, just drive,
just keep driving, don't stop for nobody.
But I just meant, anybody in the air, it seemed weird that they got away with that now. Yeah. It made the movie feel like a throwback for me to, like, you know, the days when car chases would go on forever and there weren't any helicopters to chase them around.
Doug, the first time you were on the podcast, I believe, was over 3 years ago. What changes in marijuana legislation have occurred since that time? Because I was walking home last night. Chloe and I went and got coffee at the end of our street, and I saw a green prescription bottle on the ground that clearly had weed in it, and someone just threw the bottle on the ground. But the proliferation of green crosses around the city has been – and now it seems like the federal government is backing off the state's rights to sell marijuana? Is that happening?
Well, we've been to that dance before because Obama, when he first came into office, was like, I'm not going to mess with that with marijuana and with all the medical states. And then they started messing with them anyway, which just to me just makes it – I don't think it's necessarily Obama lied. I think it's just how can you pay attention to what all these people are doing? You know, like and all these people that are just trying to keep their jobs, you know, like anytime they bust a place that sells weed, they're not helping anybody. They're just pushing paperwork around and carrying boxes out of buildings, you know. And the LA City Council here really tried to limit the number of dispensaries, but it seems like the fight in that area is you know, the dispensaries are winning. But the biggest thing that's happened is there's just the outright legalization in Washington and Colorado.
So can you just smoke it out in public in those places?
Well, the idea is you're supposed to do it privately, like you know. But so like if someone's being a douche about it, I guess a cop could you know arrest somebody. But it, you know, as long as it's something where it's, you know, it's similar to being in Amsterdam. Like there's some places you go into and everybody's smoking, and other places are like regular businesses where that doesn't happen. And people would know which ones to bring their children to.
Well, usually the people that are smoking weed, unlike the dudes drinking beer, is that they're usually not the boisterous ones being like, hey,
yeah,
look at these fucking, they're usually sort of off in the corner alone, and you kind of smell it, and you kind of have to you have to figure out where it's coming from, but that's really about the sum of it.
It's yeah, and violent. It's like the difference between driving drunk and driving high is like when you're driving high, you're very aware that you're driving high, and so you're trying,
but you really shouldn't do that.
You should not. You do not do that, everybody.
Do not do that.
But the difference is that you're like, you know, you're very much aware of it, and you're trying not to make any mistakes, whereas if you're drunk and driving a car, you want to jump a bridge.
Yeah,
you know, like you get this weird dumb bravery, yeah, and you do crazy or stupidity.
Don't do any substances and get behind the wheel of a car.
My least favorite thing about Grand Theft Auto 5 is that when you're drunk and you walk out of a bar, you can't call a cab. The cab phone line's always busy.
Well, you're going to have to get the Uber extension pack.
Or one of the competitors, because it's like that seems to be a thing now, is like people coming up with this idea of making apps where it's easier to get rides than hailing a taxi. Because if you're not in like San Francisco or New York, just standing on a corner trying to get a cab is, you know, it's not easy to do.
Yeah, like in Hollywood, there's only a certain area where you're legally allowed to get a cab.
When you go up to them to get a cab, they all like kind of look at each other like, which one of us is going to take this schmuck, you know? What do you want from us?
Yeah.
You know, like, that's really weird.
I saw the longest taxi zone in Los Angeles that I've ever seen today when we were going to Disney, right at NBC.
Oh,
there's
yeah.
like two blocks of yellow curb that just say taxi stand only, and I'm like, where in Burbank?
Yeah.
Why do you need a fleet of taxi cabs
just for parties?
Just for Jay Leno,
I guess. Just for Jay.
But to speak to your point, Chris, that no one should drive while intoxicated on anything. My new show, the web series, all of the guests and all of the cameramen that are in the room, because it's a room no bigger than this one with less windows, everybody involved, we have a car service take everybody home.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, so nobody has to get hotboxed and then drive. So, because that was the first thing I thought of when we knew we were doing the show in a fixed location that everyone would have to come to. I was like, we should get cars for everybody. And it's a sneaky way to get a car for myself.
Yeah.
You're doing that for Jash, right?
Yeah. Yeah, Jash and the VPN, they call it the Video Podcast Network. And it's one of those things where I thought that we'd just put out, you know, we'd live stream, and then there'd be a place you could go, my YouTube channel, to just watch the show, you know, the next day or whenever, you know, at your leisure. And that, you know, I wouldn't even mess with the audio podcast. But it's just amazing how many people reached out going, why don't you also put it out on audio? And I'm like, we made this thing on video, and yet you still want just the audio version.
Yeah, because they still want to hear.
Because they still have commutes where they can't watch a screen, you know? So they still want to hear it, even though we're playing the cameras and not act, you know, we're not in a podcast. You almost always explain when something physical just happened. Like, you always want to bring up the dumb shirt that Jonah's wearing.
Yeah.
But, and now you have to talk about the take that he's doing.
The face.
It's quiet, so no one knows how hilarious he's being.
I could never explain. I laughed today to the point where I was crying, and I couldn't do it out loud. But Jonah and I were at Disney doing a podcast, and we really had to pee, but we had to hold it so we could finish the podcast. And so finally we leave the podcast, we go into this bathroom, and we're doing this kind of like joking, marching, and like, we're going! And then we get right to where the urinals are, and we start to take a step. Jonah has his hand out, he's going to push the bathroom stall open, and we just hear the wettest, grossest, like... And then we both just stopped and did this like Marx Brothers take, like back out, the, like we're heading back out the bathroom. And the challenge is you don't want to laugh because it's obvious you're laughing at the farty sounds and make that person self-conscious. So,
as they should have been. That sounded horrible.
So I'm at the urinal holding my face and tears are streaming down my face and I'm peeing. And then someone stands in the urinal next to me. But then that puts me in the position of like, well, now it's going to be awkward because I don't want to have to engage this guy because I'm laughing so hard. So it was like trying to stifle a cough.
I laugh spontaneously in bathrooms all the time when I hear people shitting. It's so funny to me. I don't know why.
You know, when I'm shitting in a bathroom that other people are in, I flush when it's happening.
I mean, that's wasteful. That's smart. Water.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, in Japan,
makes a
loud
noise, splashes your ass.
In Japan, like, it's like they just have things making that noise all the time. They just have flushing noises going on so no one can hear each other's shame.
Todd Glass had a bit always about wanting to just have a trumpet player in a bathroom just to
play
a guy.
Or Graham Elwood whistling.
Yeah, but I just let it rip in the bathroom because it's just like, I mean, what the fuck? I mean,
when are you going to get those acoustics at home?
Either be self-conscious about
it. Oh,
no. Well, you're in a stall, as long as people aren't waiting around to see what you look like when you come out.
Yeah. I've been in 40-minute stalemates with people.
Where it's like they're in the stall and I'm in the stall and we're just waiting for someone to make a move and I'm like, it's not going to be me.
Flush it and do it at the same time.
The bottom line really is shit at home.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Like and live weed. Alone.
They should make that just like your weed. It's okay if you do it privately, but just don't do it out. Yeah. Just don't do it out in public.
Sometimes, like that's a weird thing about when you get off an airplane and go into the bathroom. Even if I'm just peeing, there's like the farts are just backed up and ready to go.
Oh yeah,
it's the strangest thing.
Kind of in the chamber.
Like the pressure of the cabin keeps your farts in.
Yep.
And as soon as you don't have that anymore, you fart.
Do you guys fart on planes?
No,
I don't. I don't ever feel like I have to, or rarely. Yeah.
Only if I'm sitting where the wing is, because there's so much vibration there that no one can tell.
Yeah, I do that too.
Feel it.
But then, come on. But don't you... That non sequitur hit me a second after. That whole song was just about farting.
Yeah, feel the vibration. It's just all across the nation.
Feel it.
It's quite a sensation.
Kind of like Sunkissed.
14. Oh, Jesus Christ. Oh my God.
420 episodes in, we haven't evolved at all.
No.
No. I think that goes hand in hand with being bullied, is not wanting to grow up because even though the bully is your same age, they represent all the things that are bad about
life and supposed humanity.
Yeah, and responsibility, because they're just bullying you because, like we said earlier, you deserve it. Yeah. You deserve to get pushed out there like a baby chick that doesn't want to, leave the mother. Or
oh, I was such
any animal analogy you want to use.
I was such an anxious kid. I got shoved down in the mud one day by an older kid, and most kids would probably just be like, ah, damn it. I was so traumatized. Like I had my chest. I was coming out of chess club, and I was so traumatized. I basically faked an illness so my mom would come pick me up because it was the beginning of the day.
Oh,
I was
shit.
Just like, I can't fit. Can't face this day, and it was just like my pants got dirty, which really upset me, and like it was awful. It was really awful. Yeah, that happened a few times. But I think there's something about it's sort of like the Simpsons episode where like there's like a fair amount, there's something that they sniff out where they know like, oh, I could just fuck with this kid.
Yeah. But I was bigger.
It's also because I was tiny, so that
yeah.
Was
right. Yeah,
that's
was
where
guy.
Being weird sort of helped me, I think. And sometimes they would, our drama department did a lot of things where they would just bring everybody into the gym and make them watch us do skits and stuff. And I would learn how to make everybody laugh.
But the weird kid, like if they can't process you, then they just avoid.
Yeah,
yeah.
Like if kids can't process something. They don't engage it.
But then that's where you start to learn to like pander in the same way that a stand-up comedian kind of has to learn that like there's just certain, there's certain things that an audience expects from a comic, like for one thing, the whole argument that comedians should be able to handle hecklers, which is like, no, they shouldn't have to be able to handle hecklers. That's a skill, and it's nice when we have it. But like, Maria Bamford should never have to put a heckler in their place. She should just be brilliant and do her thing, and everybody appreciate it.
Yeah.
You know, like this idea that you're not a great comic if you can't handle hecklers doesn't, you know, doesn't wash with me.
Fiona Apple, on the other hand, come on.
Where did she get heckled?
At a concert in Portland. Somebody was yelling about her needing to eat food or something.
Recently?
Yeah, it was awful. Like, awful. It was just,
why would you pay to go to a
yelling
Fiona
at
Apple
her
concert?
That she's unhealthy?
Too thin and, like, has an unhealthy body image or something. Like, just the kind of heckle you'd guess would come from Portland. You have an unhealthy body.
I saw her in Portland. I saw her in Portland probably the time she visited before that, and everybody was very nice.
Yeah, they should have been.
And so is it viral? Can we see that?
I don't know. I never clicked on it. I don't think I ever clicked on it.
When did this happen?
Last week.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. That,
I was just thinking about her because you know, she's a big pot smoker, and I wanted to get her on my show and then also have her, you know.
Oh, she's so great.
Get her high and then have her perform a song or two.
I love her.
You know, like, show how that's not really. Because she's so, like, when she plays the piano and just pounds the fuck out of it.
It's crazy.
She's great at it.
Yeah.
She's so talented.
Do it. Have her on.
You know, from your lips to whatever God's ears.
Zod's
whatever,
ears.
Whatever one you want.
To Zod's ears.
To Zod's ears.
Yeah.
From your lips to Zod's ears.
I want her to kneel before me. Isn't she on tour with like some guy too? They're like that plays on her records. Now she kind of elevated him to co-headliner status, and they do all their stuff together.
Is she touring with
Blake?
John?
Somebody?
Oh no.
Blake.
No, some other guy. Yeah. Anyway, it'd
be weird if it was Blake Shelton. That doesn't really.
Is it Drake? Is she on tour with Drake?
Yeah, it's Drake.
Oh, that would be Francis Drake.
Thanks, Joan. Joan always knows the music questions.
That would be Joan Radio. Everybody
always got the answers.
From earlier, speaking of movies that didn't necessarily hold up, I showed Chloe Heathers the other night, and
really?
Really hold.
You don't think so?
No.
I didn't love it at the time because I was, you know, I was on that Christian Slater's just doing a bad Nicholson bandwagon,
and he was,
yeah, and also it just like a lot of the dialogue just felt like. Trying so hard to be edgy and awful.
Well, here's the thing. When watching it again, Winona Ryder and Christian Slater were fine. Like, they were fine. But everyone else in the movie was doing this. I don't know. Maybe it was just a product of the time, of the style of the film that it was made. But none of the other dialogue, anything else, everything else about it was just really, it just was odd. Like, and not in like a really cool retro way, just like. I don't think that's good. Like
the two cops that find the guys.
Yeah.
Their performance is really, like, they're in a completely different movie or sketch.
It's so weird, but it just didn't, I don't know, something about it just didn't.
Finger shot off was stupid.
It didn't click for me in the way that, like, when I watch 3 o'clock High again, I'm like, fuck.
That's great.
That's
movie.
A fucking
that's
great
a,
movie.
But that's the thing also is I think that guy was a more assured filmmaker at that time than the guy who made Heathers was.
But Heathers, when it came out, was pretty, like, that was really kind of ushering in the dark teen comedy. Like, not coming out of the sort of like the bright John Hughes-y kind of comedies into like a very dark.
Less than zero.
Not a teen comedy, but
yeah, they're young. I can't tell.
Yeah,
it was overrated by any stretch. But, like, I think Fast Times holds up better.
Fast Times does hold up better, but Heathers really was like a movie about, you know, a couple that basically starts killing popular people. It's like that movies like that didn't really exist.
Yeah.
Like, that wasn't really a subgenre of the, you know, what was the other one that came later where they, you know, it was like, I think Cameron Diaz, and they all had dinner parties and they would just kill people during the dinner party.
Very Bad Things?
No, that's not Very Bad Things. No. But that has a very similar style.
Oh,
as
yeah,
Heathers.
I know the dinner party thing you're talking about.
Oh, yeah,
Cameron Diaz was in it.
There was also that weird, like,
Katie, look at him.
Mid-late 90s period of teen film with, like, Teaching Mrs. Tingle and, like, Dangerous, whatever the fuck. It was like
Dangerous Minds.
Yeah, Dangerous Minds. No. It was like whatever the fuck, because the Kevin Williamson thing, like Scream and Dawson's Creek blew up that genre, and those don't hold up even. They didn't hold up when they came out.
The first scene of Scream is still pretty classic with Drew Barrymore.
Yeah, that's great.
And it was a good nod to what they did with the, you know, Janet Leigh and Psycho.
Did you ever think
big star
well,
gets killed
this
right
out
away?
Into six movies.
Yeah. Well, that's as soon as number two came around, I was pretty disgruntled with it. You know, because like they have to raise the body count, the amount of dumb actors that are in it,
and then Scream 3, and it has to Jay be and Silent Bob are in it.
And Scream 1, the resolution and the explanation was so complicated that then now every other movie has to have a complicated.
It has to get more,
like, it has to have four or five of the kids are involved in the murders.
The Last Supper.
The Last Supper. Yeah.
I see what you. Yeah, I see what you mean. That's
the same guy that directed that also did a movie about if your roommate kills himself in college, that you get straight A's for the semester. Dead Man's Curve.
Yeah.
And Dead Man on Campus. There was two movies on the same subject.
Shit.
And that guy, Last Supper guy, did one of them. Daniel Rosen. You remember that guy, Daniel Rosen?
Yeah, I don't know if I do.
He used to be around a lot, the comedy scene.
But back to what you were saying about the overly complicated thing. That's the part that I like. I loved that movie, Tucker and Dale versus Evil. Mm-hmm. Like, I loved it so much until the end where it's just like, and he did it because a long time ago, this thing, and then he decided to. Like, I was just like, no. Oh, it was so good. It was so good before then.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, sometimes you don't. Enough with the vague spoilers.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden you're like, whoa.
What?
La 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 la. Oh, yeah.
You're telling me two guys named Tucker and Dale fought some evil?
And this one guy is like, And then the other guys are like, we know what's going on.
Dude, I haven't seen Breaking Bad yet.
Can I make a public...
That is literally an...
I want to make a public declaration that I know that Sam Levine is better than I am at Doug Loves Movies, and I felt bad because I know it really made him mad.
You beat him?
Yeah. But I was only using the rules of the game. I outplayed him. I didn't out-trivia him. And it was only because he got snarky and took the seat that I normally sit in, and so it kind of fucked him later on because...
Who got snarky there? The one, you for having a normal seat at Doug's podcast, or him for taking it?
Well, he thought it was funny to take the seat, and so then I, but it accidentally put me in a position where I could box him out from answering.
I could
tell it kind of bothered him, and you know, Sam, I adore him. The next week, he was like, I have to admit, that bothered me a lot more than it should have.
No, there's a few people that have been on the show that they, it's very hard to let go of those, you know, those moments.
Because Sam has a ridiculous wiki of movie knowledge.
No, he grew up on Leonard Maltin's books and his app and virtually has them memorized. He is far and away got much more.
He could even tell you about the movie Far and Away with Tom Cruise.
Yes. John Hamm and Edgar Wright are great at the game because they actually know all that stuff. Yeah. Like then when it comes to negative names or whatever, they're good at guessing.
Sam is basically Johnny number 5 from Short Circuit.
He went 4 deep on Mr. Holland's Opus.
Jesus.
Negative 4 names.
Richard Dreyfuss.
When he got to Glenn Headley, I was like, get out of here. That's not something anybody knows.
But you know what? He was probably up for Mr. Holland's Kid.
Very possibly.
Maybe, but again, I think it's just because he really grew up on that Leonard Maltin.
Get out of here.
And his reviews.
That's enough.
Wow. At a certain point, if you win too hard, you have to lose. Like,
well,
you
but when Sean Cullen got Star Trek 4 deep, it was like, that's a logic puzzle. That's like, if you see all the Star Trek movies, you can figure out it's going to go Shatner, Nimoy, DeForest Kelly, then... But you know, whatever it was he guessed, he got it right because it's like that's you can really make an educated guess there.
I have yet to play Sam.
I got revenge on you by having you back after you won that time and made you play against Werner Herzog and Paul F. Tompkins.
I did.
When two of the players are the same person, it's very easy to didn't you do that?
I don't understand. What do you mean they're the same person?
I'm just saying that they think a lot alike, Paul F. Tompkins and Werner Herzog. And
impeccable style, both of them.
Yeah, they're both very Natalie dressed.
I thought you were saying that all this time Werner Herzog created the character of Paul F. Tompkins.
Yeah.
Well, sometimes I don't know where one begins and the other ends, but I do know that when they're on together, that third person can't possibly win because they share a brain.
They do share a brain.
They really boxed you out quite cleverly. It's funny, too. We put quotes around Werner Herzog every time because I feel guilty for the people that, you know, write to me on Twitter saying, you know, oh, Werner Herzog's a lot funnier than I expected him to be or whatever, you know, but at the same time, even putting quotes around it, some people are still just going to think what they want to think.
Well, there's still people that
don't know that Phil Hendry is.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was at the LA Podfest this weekend. I didn't get to his show.
Yeah,
but it's so fun to watch him do stuff, you know, where you can watch him do it because it's
just
so.
Just because he's so fast.
It's so great. But he also, when he takes calls, he talks into a phone.
Yeah.
So, like, and then it makes that sound that sounds like you're talking through a phone. But it's also, he can, like, switch really quickly between the characters just by going like this, like lifting the phone up, spinning it around. So they'd be like, wah, 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 wah. Oh, well, that's stupid. You know, like, he just. The switching back and forth between the voices, not until I had seen some people do it on my own podcast had I ever seen somebody as great at it as he is. He's amazing. But you're right, people, you know, that's his radio show. He just counts on people just stumbling onto it and then calling the number and then yelling at it, you know, yelling at whoever he's got on as his fake guest. Great. It's really good.
So what do you have coming up, Doug Benson?
So let's see. Getting Doug with High is every Wednesday at 4:15 Pacific time. Fortunately, we can't get high with you in every time zone, but at least all the West Coasters are in sync with us. And on the East Coast, you know, smokable at 7:20. And then ongoing, you know, movie interruptions. The next movie interruption I'm doing other than tonight here in Los Angeles, but the next one out on the road is Sunday. I'm doing lots of Alamo Drafthouse theaters.
Oh,
nice. It's extra nice for me because there's like, you know, you're interrupting and getting food and drink brought right to your
Sunday,
seat.
What's the date on that?
Sunday the 13th, I'll be in, it's going to be in Ashburn, Virginia location, which I'm told is D.C. adjacent. Because I'm going to be in D.C. doing the Tig Notaro's Benson Ball. And as long as I was there, I wanted to get in a movie interruption. Then I've got another one coming. I'm going to do one in Houston in November, and I got a billion things going on. So just go to douglovesmovies.com for all your
people probably just assume Doug that your Benson life is essentially like it was in Super High Me, right, where you wake up and somehow a joint is already lit in your mouth, and then just throughout the day it never stops.
Well, you know, I have to stop for like 90 minutes to sit in a room with you guys.
Yep.
So this has been a good,
which is like anti-weed,
good chance for me to sober up. Yeah, it's extremely sobering. I was high when I got here, not so much anymore. Oh yeah, of course, Katie Money's reminding me that I have a podcast called Dining with Doug and Karen that's on the Nerdist Network.
It is.
Mm-hmm. And we just did a show at LA Podfest where the entire audience got amazing breakfast foods, including, I got to say this right, a fraigle, which is, you know how the cronut has been such a thing lately? The fraigle is a
part frog and fart bagel.
It's a fried bagel that he covered in cinnamon sugar. And then the middle layer, then a layer of cream cheese in the middle.
Fuck that.
Why would you do that to a person?
So fucking good.
Why would you do that to a person?
Have you had the cronut?
Yes.
Yeah, it's intense.
Yeah.
It's
intense.
But, I mean, fucking the portmanteau treats trend.
I'm just so mad at it. Because you're mad at it for existing.
Right.
We're finally catching up to
Elvis.
But
it's a specialty item. It's not like there's a truck driving by your neighborhood every day with it.
You don't know that.
Not yet.
I live at the corner
of
it.
What was the last ice cream truck you chased down the street? Has that happened?
No. I live at the...
I almost did recently when one went by. I was almost like, I'm going to chase this fucker. And I was like, why?
I live very, very close to a cronut-making donut shop.
It's driving by a 7-Eleven right now.
Yeah.
I don't need to stop it.
You do live by a cronut-making donut shop?
Oh, yeah. Very close to one. So close that I can smell it if my window is
open. That one has cronuts?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. $3.75 a pop, in case you're wondering.
What's the place called?
Called the donut place that's near my house.
You're really that worried that people are going to listen and
Cronutterly delicious.
Yeah, I'm not that worried.
Sounds like you're worried about people saying hi. It's like you don't like the fans of the show. That's what it sounds like to me. I know I might be wrong, but just that's what it sounds like. You don't even want to interact with the people
who praise you.
By the way, speaking of delicious ice cream trucks, we had one for Chloe's birthday that I wanted to plug. So it was really good. It was called Cool Cow. And their Twitter handle is Be Cool Cow. They had it's gelato and yogurt, but the yogurt is basically like on popsicle sticks. And the gelato, they had a Frosted Flakes gelato that had like chunks of Frosted Flakes in it. So it basically just tasted like ice cold cereal milk.
and it was fucking amazing.
That's great.
So if you, if you can track that truck down, if you're in Los Angeles. But Doug, track
I'm glad to hear you have some vices.
I do.
Of,
yeah.
of sorts.
I have one.
Yeah, there's one. There's this place in Portland.
Okay.
And it's
Wait, ham and cheese croissant.
Ken's Artisan Bakery.
What's your, but do you eat meat?
Yeah. But I'm not, I mean, but Chloe's a vegetarian, so a lot of times I just don't eat meat, which I'm fine. I kind of enjoy
it. Well, you have the problem, like, it's like, because me and Chris talked about this a bunch before, it's like, you don't like a lot of vegetarian places because they overuse garlic.
Garlic, yeah. Well, a lot of, like, raw food and vegan places overuse garlic, I found.
Yeah.
But we found some, like Boulan is really good in Los Angeles for like, vegetarian stuff.
And cafes nearby?
Like, a lot of times, I'll just pick a vegetarian option. It's like, oh, you know, let's be vegetarian part of the time. And when I really want meat, I'll have meat, you know? Like, it's not – it's fun because I don't feel like I have to be all one or I have to be all the other.
Yeah.
Sometimes you can have vegetarian food. Other times you can have
That's
meat.
Good way to do it.
But my only vice is the chai latte from Starbucks, which I have two a day, one in the morning and one in the late afternoon, and I'm going to have to cut back on that because it's such a sugary drink that it's just not good to have two of those a day.
Yeah, stop doing that.
I will.
But come on Dining with Doug and Karen sometime.
Would love to.
Yeah.
I was on it once.
Everybody at the table's been on it.
Except for Kyle.
He's not really at the table.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Why you gotta get mean on the 420 episode? Yeah.
Why'd you have to fry him like a Fraggle?
Just be chill the whole time.
Kyle's a Kegel. No, that's a thing.
He's a vaginal exercise.
Kankle. Kankle is how you pronounce it.
I mean, technically, we are all vaginal exercises. Like, we are
taking away from me now.
I'm sorry.
You know what, Chris? I discovered that I was unhappy to see, and it's just one of those things that happens.
I'll leave,
Doug. We're both playing shows in Seattle on the same date on December 13th.
No!
Yeah.
Oh!
Yeah,
oh,
so.
That I wouldn't.
All of,
oh,
me too.
Man,
yeah,
so
all
sorry.
Of our shared fans will have to make a choice.
No,
Doug, I'll come to
you. Probably result in them. They'll probably just stay home.
I should call. We should call each other on speakerphone or set up some sort of a thing and do like a back and forth show thing.
That'd be fun. I'm doing mine's gonna be a Douglas Movies taping, so it's a little bit more specific. So hopefully there won't be too much.
Mine's just stand up. I think I'm just doing the show box. I'm so sorry to hear
weekend,
that.
Both guys.
Boy, I always
what did I say December 13th? I meant
2014.
When are you busy?
You've already advanced, Matt, to the next round of the Tournament of Championships. So, unfortunately, that puts you in a little bit of a holding pattern. But we'll have you on again sometime soon.
All right. Well, come see one of us. Either one would be fine. December 13th in Seattle. There's enough people in Seattle to see both shows. They're not massive venues.
No, that's what I love about Seattle is it's there's plenty of people, but it's still
damn. I'm
so always
sorry
frustrated because also we just can't attend each other's shows as well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And you never want to feel like you're competing with your friends.
Just have
like,
an after party at Ground Control.
We could do that. No, that's in Portland.
That's in Portland.
Where did you say you're going?
Seattle.
What's that?
It's a town that's
North Portland.
You've never
it's
been
not
north
Portland,
of Oregon.
Yeah.
I've never.
I would not.
I didn't
call
know.
North
I thought it just
dropped.
Never
want to be able to go there again. People
yeah,
would not
I don't
be
know
pleased.
If you're familiar with
Canada
that.
Is a
Seattle
myth.
Has a great show on
Canada's
radio.
Canada's not a myth, Joan. It's a real place. Mm-hmm.
It's called Frasier.
Yeah, I mean, haven't you ever had a craving for tossed salad and scrambled eggs?
Oh, they're calling again.
And you can't make your way up to Seattle?
I don't know what I would do without
those tossed salad and scrambled eggs, to be honest.
I don't know, but I think they're always on special at the Space Needle restaurant.
They're calling again. No.
Good night, Seattle. We love you.
Enjoy a burrito.
420! Enjoy Freedom 420.
Imagine you diving through that window.
I wouldn't have the force to dive through it. I would just hit it and crack it and cut my forehead.
Like, why it'd be I really know? Sad, just like up against it, your neck twisted slowly.
Now leaving Nerdist.com. Enjoy your burrito.
Once upon a beat,
Remember the stories and fables that captured your imagination when you were young? We have a perfect podcast to bring you the stories you remember, remixed and reimagined for the kids in your life today. Yeah. Wondery and Tinkercast are bringing you a music-filled weekly party hosted by me, DJ Fuse, and my trusty turntable, Baby Scratch, spinning tales in the New Kids and Family podcast, Once Upon a Beat, where hip-hop and fables meet. Hey, grown-ups, listen to Once Upon a Beat early and ad-free right now on Wondery Plus. Once Upon a Beat.